Okay, everybody, welcome back once again to Tech Gumbo. I'm Haggai Davis II, along with Haggai Davis III, and we'd like to welcome you into our show where we talk about the past, present, and future of all things technology in a topical, interesting, and digestible way. Without geek speak or a bunch of acronyms, we just want to talk about tech that's important to us and important to you.
We also want to talk about Cardinal Capital. To business owners and CEOs, hopefully you have a good relationship with your bank. Even if you do, though, sometimes you face other challenges, such as a need to consolidate debt, a want to level out your cash flow, or a desire to buy new equipment because you're in growth mode. If this describes you, give Cardinal Capital a call, whatever your need or challenge. They have over 4,000 lenders where they source commercial capital for business clients. Chris, Gary, and Rob at Cardinal Capital have a passion for business and they want you to succeed. When you meet with Cardinal Capital, they get to know you and your business so they can present your needs to the lending institution that will best fit your unique situation. In short, they go after money for your business. They translate your business into what's important to banks, and they are good at it. Depending on what the deal is, no matter how complicated or straightforward, they will help maximize your profitability while setting your business up for success. They find the best solution for your situation, all while being fun and easy to deal with. For more detailed information, visit their website at cardinalcap.net. Call them 225-308-3700 or email them info@cardinalcap.net.
Okay, so let's kick off a good helping of tech gumbo here. Kind of following up on a story we've talked about a good bit with Apple and their iPhones and the right to repair.
Yeah, this is something which Apple has fought pretty hard for a while. They have worked to make it incredibly difficult for third-party or unlicensed vendors to repair the iPhone. They want everything to be done in-house or as close to in-house as possible. They've experienced some backlash on it, and they're finally starting to cave a little bit here.
This is kind of a fighting retreat, if you will. They know that the laws are changing in the European Union. They know members of Congress here in the U.S. on both sides of the aisle are pushing this, so it's inevitable, and they're slowly coming around to it.
So what specifically this is that whenever you were swapping a new screen onto an iPhone 13, there was a really tiny piece of hardware that you also had to bring over that was very difficult if you were an unlicensed vendor. But if you were an Apple authorized shop, then you could just use a piece of software to make it all work, and that really saved you a whole lot of time. Well, Apple has since said that they will release the software tool to everyone soon-ish. They haven't announced an official date, but they're going to make it a whole lot easier for everyone to move screens between the new iPhone 13s.
So the right to repair marches on. Another story about Apple is that they have reportedly gone out and they've hired the autopilot software director who used to work for Tesla.
Yeah, this is an interesting story because Apple has had a self-driving car division for a while. The Project Titan, I remember talking about it all the way back in 2015, 2016. And they've never really released any sort of what the project actually is, where they are in the project, what they want it to do, what it's going to look like, you know, what space they're specifically trying to occupy. They just kind of have had a project, and every couple of years they turn it over and they say, this time, now we figured it out. This is the one. And it feels like they're just starting that cycle all over again. And so we'll see if they announce any formal goals. But until then, it just kind of feels like another money pit for Apple.
Yeah, the to not even put out some pictures to have your investors get excited about something to where we know more about what's going on at the Skunk Works place out in Nevada than we do what's going on in the Apple cars.
I suspect that it's less that they're trying to be super duper top secret and more they just don't have anything to show. And that if they were to show something, everyone would go, well, Ford had that 5 years ago. What are you doing now? And so My guess is they're just so far behind and that they can't keep up with everyone else. And that's why they're constantly trying to bring in other talent. They're trying to buy stuff and trying to assimilate because they can't do it in-house.
So do you think at whatever point, whenever they do get it together, like, ta-da, here's what we've been working on for a decade now?
No, I get the impression that they're ultimately just going to buy something that's almost completely complete from someone else and just slap the Apple logo on top of it. Because This isn't something that you can do in the dark, because there's just so many steps that have to be done along the way. And there's a limited number of people who can do them. And so it feels much more like they took the wrong route, whereas Ford partnered with Argo a number of years ago, and Ford has mostly let Argo be the self-driving branch just under the umbrella and just dumping a bunch of resources into them, whereas Apple just has not been able to figure it out.
Okay. Moving along, Microsoft, they're unveiling Loop, which is a new collaborative office document software all-in-one collaboration program.
This took us a little bit to figure out what it is, what it does. And the best analogy we could think of is it's like Power BI, kind of. But instead of inputting data, you're going to input like a Word document and a PowerPoint and a spreadsheet to produce a presentation, basically.
This is going to allow you to have simultaneous collaboration, so that if you've got four or five people all working on the same loop, where you've got somebody inputting some graphics and somebody inputting, dropping a spreadsheet onto it, and some people inputting some content, from Word. This is all part of Fluid, the Fluid framework. We talked about this a year ago, and this is an ongoing extension. Now, this is not coming out right away. This is the end of 2022 before Microsoft's going to release it for preview. But they're at least talking about it now, getting everyone somewhat excited.
I could see this being like a report generating tool, basically, that you have Power BI makes very pretty charts and graphics and things like that. You pull in the spreadsheet and that brings in your data, and you can have different paragraphs that pop up. You can have different words or sentences. And so instead of having to sit there every month and say, line 42 of the spreadsheet said that we, increased profits by 12% this month, and having to manually type that out, you can just go grab those things and have them auto-generate and auto-fill to move this process along much faster. That's kind of the vibe that I'm getting from reading through a little more of these details, which would be really useful to like automate out a lot of that repetitive work and leave the actual like creativity and the actual analysis. So if that's what's happening here, that would actually be pretty cool.
Yeah, Microsoft has said this is not going to replace Word. It's not going to replace Excel. It's not going to replace PowerPoint. This is going to be an alternative that's going to allow you to blend all three together in a very, very collaborative way of doing things.
Yeah, everything is collaborative now. And whenever I think about like what we were generating at Arcadis, what our deliverables were, it was never a one tool, never a one software product. It was always, okay, we're going to do something in Excel, and then we're going to put it into PowerPoint, and then we're going to have some words as well to like generate a report. And we were always doing all three. It was just manually stitching it all together. If you can have something which will smooth this whole process out, that's pretty cool.
So as it gets closer to being launched and available for preview, we will report back and let you know what we think.
Absolutely. Moving on here, we wanted to talk about the low-end laptops. Those Google Chromebooks, demand spiked very hard for them last year, and it's coming back down on the other side now that people have realized they're not really interested in the bare minimum.
Yeah, so during the pandemic, when all of these kids were having to go to school from home and mom, dad didn't have laptops or computers at home for the kids, These schools went out and bought all these Chromebooks because Chromebooks are $150, $200 at the most. There's nothing to them. There's 4 gigs of RAM on the high end. Most of them have 2 gigs of RAM, but they don't do anything other than get you to Google, get you to Google Chrome and to the Google Cloud. And that's all they do. And so all these schools, they went and bought thousands and thousands and thousands of these Chromebooks. And so Google got excited. All right, let's make more. And now all of a sudden, kids kind of going back to school and everybody's saying, well, but I need a computer. I need to be able to use Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and I need to, this is nothing more than an iPad with a keyboard attached.
Yeah, and I think there's a reason that an iPad with a keyboard attached hasn't really grown as an object. That we talked about this last week, that iPads are kind of stagnating and they have niche use cases, but that people, the demand for laptops, actual computers, has skyrocketed and continues to grow. But again, you need a machine that can do multiple things simultaneously. You can add programs to it. You can add different things, and then you can do more than just sit there and type into a Word document or go to Google and type into Google. You have to be able to do multiple things, and that's where you unlock the power of a computer. And that's just not what Chromebooks are designed for.
No, they're designed to give you a screen to look at the internet with and not much more.
Yeah, they are niche tools. They do serve a purpose, but they people far overbought for what they're actually capable of.
Because once they got them, they realized, oh, that's it. And so now there's a whole lot of them in warehouses. We want to talk about, we've talked about 5G on and off for years on this show. And a story came out that the airlines are asking the FCC to just pump the brakes, ask for a pause of about a month or so, because there are some concerns that the mid-band or the C-band might interfere with airplanes. And the FAA is very concerned about this.
Yeah, so AT&T and Verizon have agreed to, out of good faith, pause expansions by 1 month to January 5th, which isn't actually a very large concession on their part. Neither one of them really had plans for a whole lot of expansion in the month of December anyway. So it's more just a show of goodwill here. But the FAA, I'm kind of surprised that it's coming right now, that this 5G technology has been in development for a long time, and we're not the first place in the world to unveil 5G. There are a lot of other countries who have it as well. And I don't know, like, do their air traffic divisions have problems with it? I would think this would be a problem which has shown up before. It's just kind of surprising that it's becoming an issue right now and that they're only asking for 1 month.
Well, and the other part, all these other places around the world that have been rolling out 5G, were they doing the high band and the low band and not doing the middle band?
That's a good question.
And so, and specifically, this the band in question is in the 220 megahertz range. And it's the radio altimeters, they're worried that it's going to create some, you know, some strange signals in the planes, and that might think all of a sudden they're at 30,000 feet when they're near the runway, or vice versa. And that's concerning.
Now, the FAA has said that there have been no proven reports yet of harmful interference, but the issue is still being studied. So it's more just an abundance of caution right now, that no one's actually seen anything that they could point to and say, ah, this is actually a problem. It's more just, well, it might be a problem. And the U.S. has gone decades without having a commercial air traffic death, and it continues to be the safest form of transportation in human existence. And so if they delay an extra month, an extra 6 weeks to keep that record up, Okay. I would prefer to not die in a ball of fire more than I need my 5G.
And that's fair. And, you know, so AT&T, Verizon, T-Mobile, they've been spending $80 billion plus on buying these bandwidth spectrums. And so, yeah, they can pump the brakes for an extra 30 days, maybe even 60 days. When you got that much money invested, okay, we'll go to February if you want, but we're going to roll this out. I think the overabundance of caution is a good thing, but it's also something they're going to squelch pretty quickly and say, no, this is none. The same way that 5G doesn't cause cancer and all of that same kind of stuff, I think this is going to be the same thing.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see if we end up with a solution like what they did in Canada. So in Canada, the government put big restriction zones around airports. The problem is, if you're a city like New York City, where you have Newark, JFK, and LaGuardia, and a lot of the flight paths go right through the city, then you're going to start turning off 5G for your largest, most dense city in the country. And this is the place where 5G would work because you need that threshold of density. And so that doesn't feel like a great solution.
No, it really doesn't. I don't see that playing very well because there's no way that the big three can give up 20 million people from using 5G technology.
Especially since New York City is the home of Verizon. This is their capital. You're not going to let your jewel go here in New York City. So,
one last story we want to talk about. Cybersecurity firm Trend Micro has come out and said there's a company or a group of hackers known as Void Balor, and they are, for lack of a better term, hackers for hire.
Yeah, they are cyber mercenaries, which feels like a very 2021 Tom Clancy term. They go after human rights activists, journalists, politicians, medical doctors, anybody who they get paid for. They will go and put a digital hit out on them.
And this cyber mercenary group, oh, by the way, they've been advertising their services on Russian language forums for the past 3 years.
I am sure that is a coincidence and that there is nothing else happening there that they're advertising on Russian language forums.
Go figure.
Mm-hmm. In case you were wondering and you don't speak Russian, their services offered are breaking into emails and social media accounts, stealing and selling sensitive personal and financial information, even dropping information-stealing malware onto a device used by the victim.
Yeah, these guys are really good at what they do. They have no problem going after anybody or anything. If you pay them, they'll hack it for you.
Oh, this is some spy stuff. This is, you know, we are the, this is MI6, James Bond. This is that level of, oh, you know, there's somebody in the world and we need to know what they are doing on their device. We need to know who they're talking to, anyone in the world. Yeah, you have a fat enough stack of cash, you can make it happen.
That's so fascinating to me that there's a group of people that are out there saying, yeah, we'll do that. Just you pay me up front. I'll do what you need. And it's not like the FBI and the NSA and Interpol and all these different organizations don't know about them. Obviously, they do.
Oh, I'm sure that these people are very high on the list of international wanted criminals. And they probably, this Trend Micro Research, I'm sure this is a joint partnership with a lot of people on several continents.
And so the fact that you're out there advertising, you're saying, hey, For $1 million, we'll do whatever you need. For $100,000, this will, like, they've got a sales card, you know, we want this, we want that. No, we don't need the $1 million package. We just want the $150,000 worth of hacking. And you're just going to tell me that the good guys aren't going to go after that?
I think that, you know, thanks to something like Bitcoin, wherever they can get paid and they don't have to have any sort of traceable wallet, you know, thanks to a lot of different cybersecurity advancements in anonymity, it's very, very difficult. We talk about this sword and shield problem, that it's really hard for the good guys to stay ahead, because every time the good guys develop a new defense technique, the bad guys develop a newer offense technique. And so this is just cutting edge, super fascinating stuff.
And speaking of good guys, we want to thank General Informatics for sponsoring our show. General Informatics is an information technology firm with a mission to make our clients even more successful through the best use of technology. From the beginning, we have maintained our commitment to meeting the growing needs of our clients through continuous innovation. With over 20 years of experience and a team of 120 plus engineers, technicians, programmers, and designers, GI has evolved to become the leading IT partner of businesses, schools, and government agencies. Our managed services team can run your digital infrastructure or support your team on an on-demand basis, letting you focus on your business strengths. This has become a proven formula, so proven that 98% of our clients continue to do business with us year after year. The true testament to GI's success, however, has been the strategic support to our clients' growth. Whether you need IT services, new technology, or have a question, visit us on the web at geninf.com.
If you enjoy our show today, we are here on Talk 107.3 FM every Saturday at 4 p.m., and the show reruns Sundays also at 4 p.m. If you missed any part of the show, or you want to go back and hear us as a podcast, check us out on almost every available platform, including iTunes, Spotify, Podbean, Google Music, and more. When you're there, be sure to subscribe so you get notified every time a new episode is posted. If you like our show, you have any suggestions, or have a question, let us know via text message 225-255-0431. And if we use your question as the question of the week, we will send you a Tech Gumbo mug for free. Thank you for listening to Tech Gumbo.